First case to be heard this morning is number 2009-2137, Akron Center Plaza Limited versus Summit County Board of Revision. Mr. Jennings.
May it please the Master, we are here in response to a decision from the Board of Tax Appeals wherein the Board of Tax Appeals erroneously affirmed a decision from the Summit County Board of Revision where the present case was dismissed as a second filing within an interim period. The facts of the case are fairly straightforward. In March of 2007, the property owner timely filed an initial complaint for the tax lien date of January 1st, 2006, and the which is the second year of the interim triennial period. In July of 2007, that taxpayer presented evidence to the Summit County Board of Revision, where the taxpayer relied upon the income and expenses from tax years 2004, 2005, and 2006 only. The taxpayer also, in compliance with 5715-19G, provided all information within its knowledge or possession affecting the real property. Among those arguments around the January 1st, 2006 tax year included the income and expenses previously mentioned, as well as a letter that was written in October of 2005 with an anticipatory non-renewal of a long-term lease that affected almost half of the building, major tenant. that was an anticipatory letter as of January 1, 2006. The occupancy of the building was still roughly 98%. The taxpayer also stated, again in accordance with 5715-19G, that the occupancy in July 2007, which was at the time of the hearing, was 74%. They also indicated the occupancy as of year-end 2006, again, all within accordance with 5715-19G. It's the interplay between 5715-19A2, which states that no person shall file a complaint if it filed a complaint on that parcel for any prior tax year in the same interim period, unless the person alleges one of the four circumstances, and this is the important part, and that the circumstances were not taken into consideration with respect to the prior complaint. There's no real debate over a 15% change in occupancy. The BTA, however, has read that both 5715-19A2 and 5715-19G requires all information to be presented such that at no time, given a reading where facts are presented, not all the circumstances surrounding it, but only mere the facts of the vacancy. If you read those two statutes together and give the interpretation that the Board of Tax Appeals has given it, there is not a single instance where a complaint can be filed in the first year and followed by a second complaint in the very next year. You cannot get there and have those two statutes exist with that interpretation. The only way that those two statutes can exist together and be reconciled is if all facts and circumstances, including the circumstances which would be that the impact to the real property value, be explained. At the time of the initial Board of Revision hearing, there was not sufficient evidence because it was still mid-July 2000. It was still mid-2007. There was not an income and expense statement to present to show the impact of the loss of the tenant.
Well, also, isn't there the question of what would be at issue on the earlier complaint, which would be the value of the property on January 1st of 2006, which would be after the law firm said it was going to leave, but before it had actually left?
That is correct. And that's why the circumstances surrounding the vacancy after the law firm left was not introduced and was not even available as of that date, nor was it relevant as of the first complaint, because the first complaint only had to do with the anticipatory leaving of that tenant and
but
the impact
Akron,
on value.
Akron Center did clearly ask the Board of Revision to take into account the effect that this announced departure would have.
The announced departure. They did not ask the Board of Revision to take into account or into effect the actual departure. It was always intended that there would be a complaint filed in 1 year because the valuation of the property as of 1/1/2006, even if you had a crystal ball, would be greater than the valuation as of 1/1/2007, because you still had the cash available and the income available throughout that full year of 2006, throughout the majority of 2006, because the law firm had yet to leave and they still had the lease running through that time period.
Let me ask you along those lines, sort of a hypothetical question. Let's say the first complaint in this case had been filed not for tax year 06, but for tax year 05, and it raised whatever issues it raised. And then the second complaint in the triennium is filed for 06, and it says, we have this letter from the law firm that says a year from the time the letter is issued, they're going to leave. That's going to affect the value on January 1st, 06, and that we're allowed to file the complaint because that letter reflects a decrease. Now, would that be within the exception, a
no,
D or not?
Oh, okay. It would not, because occupancy is the key to that. In the example that you just provided, the 2005 year, there would have been no knowledge. It would have just simply been, and by the way, as it was, slightly over-assessed in 2005.
Well, the letter would have existed, but it would not. Because wasn't the letter was issued in like November of 05 saying we're out of here in October of 06.
Right, but as of January 1, 2005, that letter would not have been in existence, and therefore that letter
would not have affected the value of the property
on January 2005. The only time that letter had impact was for the January 2006 tax lien date. And that impact is an anticipatory impact.
And just so I'm clear, your position is that that impact is not an impact that's referred to at Division D when it talks about a decrease in occupancy, because that's only a prospective decrease.
That's correct. And, okay. And at the hearing, it was presented that there was increased risk. That was all that was presented, is that it would increase the risk of someone buying it in anticipation of the vacancy problems that you would have in the building. Mm-hmm. As of January 1, 2007, it was a known fact. It was vacant. There was additional impact to the building, not just simply because of loss of income, but loss of presence of 50% of this building, of its most prestigious tenant. So all the ancillary retail businesses that were associated with it felt the impact as well. So from someone coming in and looking at the building as of January 1, 2007, substantially different than 1-1, 2006, where the law firm was still there and where the letter still could have been a bluff from the law firm to simply drive down the renewal of rent coming into the future. It was not reality yet. And a potential purchaser would be faced with the same circumstances as the owner as of that time. So you have two aspects. One is that you have the interplay, and if you do not allow both of those statutes to survive one another and allow for the review of all of the circumstances surrounding it. And in fact, 5715 19A2D requires that not only do you have the 15% change in occupancy, but you have to show that the impact to the property based upon that, that impact was still not even available as of the time.
Well, and in fact, as we've discussed, the decrease hadn't in fact occurred.
Correct.
And as you point out, it might not come to pass. There might be renegotiations of the law firm's lease, or there might space might have been relet.
That is in fact correct. The other is that within the four exceptions, that all the considerations, and says, and that the circumstances were not taken into consideration with respect to the prior complaint, such that the circumstances are different than facts. Facts are one thing. Circumstances surrounding the facts are completely different. The clear reading of the statute, in fact, the statute literally says circumstances. If they wanted to say facts, they would have used the word facts. At this point, I'd like to reserve any additional time that I might have.
That's fine.
To respond.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. Mr. Seed.
May it please the court. My name is David Seed, attorney for Akron Board of Education. I think this is a very cut and dry issue. We have a triennium of tax year 2005, 6, and 7. We have a complaint for tax year 2006 that's filed in calendar year 2007 after the law firm had vacated. Okay. The issue really here in this case comes down to that the taxpayer made a huge mistake in filing a complaint in 2008 for 2007 because it cut off the carry forward of the 2006 complaint to the final year of the triennium of tax year 2007. And on my brief on page 3 and in the record, I provide you an excerpt from the letter provided by the law firm for their tax year 2006 complaint. The reason they brought up the loss of Buckingham, Doolittle, and Burroughs, which had already taken place, was to promote or to strengthen their 2006 case. And they point out that the building's largest tenant had notified them in October of 2005 via letter that it intended to vacate the premises, and the letter goes on to discuss the financial impact on the property. And there was argument made, and there was an appraisal provided that a buyer of the property as of January of 2006 would know that the largest tenant was going to vacate the property. So it's not an issue of having to wait till January of 2006 for the occupancy to have left. The taxpayer wanted to present the argument as soon as possible once it received notice, because their argument was is that a buyer in the marketplace would know that information. The appraiser took that information into account in the appraisal. He made deductions in the appraisal for rent loss, build out of the Buckingham Doolittle space. Let me,
if I could ask you the question that I asked counsel, the hypothetical. Let's say the first complaint had been for 05, and then the second complaint is filed for 06, and it says, well, we have this letter that would affect the value on January 1st of 06, okay, because it looks like the major tenant is going to leave during 06, and that would affect the value on January 1st, 06. Would that complaint be within the exception under Division D? In other words,
if the 2005 complaint was filed and before the Board of Revision they did not bring up or they did advocate to the Board of Revision a consideration of the loss of a tenant, then my opinion is that in filing the tax year 2006 complaint,
would that be barred by the?
No, it would not be barred
because of D. Because
of D, yes.
Okay, so the prospect of a decrease in occupancy is within the exception.
Correct. It's just in this case they filed a 2006 complaint. For some reason unknown to me, they filed a 2007 complaint when they did not need to file a 2007 complaint because it was the third year of the triennium. They didn't need to file a 2007 complaint because
it would have, the value determined for 06 would have carried forward.
Correct, a continuing complaint.
Well, but what if, let's say the law firm actually did leave the space and it was not all relet. So really the value on January 1st of 07 might have been considerably less than on January 1st of 06. Could the Board of Revision have made that adjustment?
They could have made an
adjustment.
Yeah, sure. And at the Board of Revision or Board of Tax Appeals, an appraiser, the taxpayer could have presented evidence through an appraisal with the same value for 2006 and 2007 or different values,
okay,
depending on the market conditions.
Does that depend on the continuing complaint provision or not?
Because of the continuing complaint provision.
And that was another question I'd written down to ask, too. There's mention that would apply in this case, but I'm not quite sure of the timing of everything from the record. But isn't that triggered by there's a requirement in 5715.19 that the Board of Revision issue its decision within 90 days of a complaint or of the counter-complaint. And in this case, the Board of Revision acted in early August, so it looks as though it might have acted within 90 days, in which case there might not have been a continuing complaint. I mean, do you have any thoughts about that?
I have no thought on that. I just that the Board of Revision for the 2006 complaint in 2007 issued a decision that the taxpayer appealed to the Board of Tax Appeals, mm-hmm, and had the taxpayer not filed another complaint, that 2006 complaint would have jurisdiction over 2006 and 2007. We already were in 2007, mm-hmm, per cases of this court, decisions of this court.
But in your view, if the Board of Revision or the Board of Tax Appeals, acting under the 2006 complaint, wanted to determine one value for 2006 and a different, possibly lower value for 2007, they would have had jurisdiction to do that, in your view?
Well, the 2006 complaint, I can't really say whether the Board of Revision could have or could not have decided the 2007 valuation, because a complaint conceivably could have been filed by someone, mm-hmm, through March 31st of 2008. However, because of the appeal of the case, the Board of Tax Appeals, reviewing evidence, could have made a determination for 2006 and 2007. And per, the issue goes also that you had a continuing complaint and...
Well, I think it's clear if there were a continuing complaint that they would have jurisdiction to do that. And I guess the further question is, if there weren't, would they have jurisdiction or would they simply have to carry forward the value?
They would have continuing jurisdiction.
Okay.
So if I think when the court looks at the statute 5715.19(a)(2), it's pretty clear that the taxpayer as to the loss of occupancy of Buckingham, Doolittle, and Burroughs, presented that information to the court, to the Board of Revision, not only through a letter but through an appraisal, and that information was present at the Board of Revision, taken into consideration because the taxpayer wanted the Board of Revision to take it into consideration. And then...
Well, that raises an interesting question, too, because they did not, in fact, order a change in value.
Correct.
But taken into consideration means if it was presented to them...
Correct.
And then we presume that they thought about it and decided not
to make... You're really hitting on the issue, Your Honor, that they could... I mean, conceivably, they could have not presented the letter to the Board of Revision, and waited till... taking my colleague's argument, just waited a year until January of 2007 tax lien date to file a complaint, and then tried to argue that they qualified under 5715.19a2d. They did not elect to do so because they wanted to present as strong a case as possible for their 2006 case, yet for some reason elected to file another complaint for 2007 when they did not need to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seed. Mr. Jennings, you have 3 minutes and 35 seconds for rebuttal.
I'd like to address three issues that were brought up. Earlier, the statements were made that the presentation to the board was simply could have all been made for 2006 and would have carried forward through 2007. There were actually two distinctive issues there. One was the anticipatory vacancy. One was the actual vacancy. Like to point out that the original fair market value for this property was $17,491,000. The presentation that was provided to the Board of Revision for the 2006 case was based upon the average income for 2004, 5, and 6. A higher than normal cap rate was used for the actual risk factor. But the presentation came into a value of $15 million, hardly the reduction that one would have for having lost half of the building. That's pertinent because for the 2007 case, after the vacancy had occurred, the circumstances that were brought forward to prove the 15% occupancy and the economic impact was for $11 million. That was taken into consideration the vacancy itself and the loss of income. At no point in time was that ever presented to the Board of Revision. Secondly, you had asked Appley regarding whether or not the letter itself would be sufficient enough to grant jurisdiction over a second filing. I believe that the answer was that it could. When in fact, in this court, for Mellon Bank versus Franklin County Board of Revision, it stated that they concluded that 5715.19a2d concluded that it meant a change in the physical occupancy of a property and not merely a change in the income stream. As of the tax lien date, and given your example as well, there would have not been any physical change in occupancy. We need that physical change in occupancy to trigger that exception. Finally, there would have been no jurisdiction whatsoever over 2007 when the Board of Revision was determining the value for 2006. Had the Board of Revision in the 2006 case determined that the fair market value for the property as of 1-1-2006 was $15 million, as was presented by the taxpayer. The taxpayer would not have appealed that 2006 case, but still would have filed for 2007 for the decrease in occupancy, because there were two totally different sets of facts and circumstances, and the values obtained are two totally different things. The fact that the Board of Revision ignored, and we don't know if they ever considered, by the way, that evidence. They just merely said insufficient evidence. That was the only words that were spoken. We don't know if they considered it. In the decision from Millstone, from the Court of Appeals, there was actual testimony that they had considered the evidence and it actually made a change. But it wasn't the change that mattered. It was that they stated that they considered it. They didn't even know at the time of the 2007 Board of Revision hearing that they had made that that change.
Mr. Jennings, your red light is on. If you can just wrap up quickly.
I'm sorry. Thank you. At that, I will wrap up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.